This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
These storms could push up oil and therefore gas prices for a long time. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The center of what is now Tropical Storm Nicholas is now over land in Texas, bringing what will be an enormous amount of rain to the Gulf Coast and beyond. After Hurricane Ida, that's two in 2 weeks, disrupting people's lives and the production of oil. Marketplace's Nova Safo is monitoring this and joins me now live.
David, companies with offshore oil platforms announced that they were evacuating at least some of their personnel because of Nicholas. Royal Dutch Shell said it was evacuating non-essential workers from a platform that had not been affected by Hurricane Ida. Occidental Petroleum signaled some evacuations as well. A number of oil refiners have facilities in the path of this storm, and those companies said they were preparing plans for severe weather, so potentially disruptions in refining capacity as well.
And how are fossil fuel producers dealing with two storms so quickly?
Right, back to back. Well, they hadn't fully recovered yet from Ida. Gulf Coast oil and gas production was still down about 40% as of yesterday. Dozens of offshore platforms had not been fully staffed back up yet. We know processing plants were dealing with power outages. And we're already hearing of the consequences of all of this: lower global oil supply, not just here in the U.S. That's based on a forecast released today by the International Energy Agency. It lists Hurricane Ida as one of the significant outages around the world that will reduce global oil production this year. Now, keep in mind, oil tankers weren't able to dock for a while. And this supply crunch comes as oil demand is forecast to increase in the fall, so potentially higher prices to come.
All right, Nova, thank you. Oil prices this morning hit a six-week high. The benchmark price for crude traded in New York is up 0.75% now at nearly $71 a barrel. Some other numbers: Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up slightly by 0.1% or less. Amsterdam's up 0.3%. The 100-share index in London is down 0.3%. There's word today Amazon is going to boost hourly pay to more than $18 an hour in a bid to hire 125,000 more warehouse and transport people. Reuters is reporting the online giant is paying $3,000 signing bonuses in some locations and offering more than $22 an hour in spots. Theranos, the Silicon Valley company that was supposed to disrupt the delivery of medicine in America with a machine that could do blood tests with a pinprick. The company collapsed amid evidence of fraud. Today's the first full day of witnesses testifying in the fraud trial of the high-profile former CEO of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, who founded the company when she was 19. Let's turn now to Adam Leshinsky, a longtime Silicon Valley reporter who's in San Jose covering the trial for the publication Business Insider. Adam, thanks for connecting.
My pleasure, David.
All right, give us a sense. What do we learn about each side's arguments in the opening days here?
Well, on the prosecution side, we really didn't learn anything. If you've been following this case even fleetingly, you know that Elizabeth Holmes has been accused of fraud, and that's the prosecution's case, that she defrauded investors, partners, and patients of her defunct blood testing company. From the defense, we actually learned something, which is that they have a defense that is not that she's insane, which is not that she was coerced by her co-founder and ex-lover, but rather that she wasn't as responsible for everything that went on at Theranos as we thought, and furthermore, that she didn't personally profit from any of this because the company went bust and she never made a dime.
Well, on that last part, Adam, some may hear this as similar logic to a robber allegedly stealing a car and totaling the car, so therefore it's okay because the robber didn't end up with a working car.
I think that's a very good analogy. Her defense lawyer argued in his opening statement that she certainly could have sold stock on multiple occasions and didn't. She held on, which is sort of a source of pride of Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. I'm not selling until we're a success. And she didn't, and she ended up with nothing. This will be one story that the defense goes with to try to, I guess, elicit some compassion from the jury.
Now, this must be on your mind as the trial proceeds, but you know, a lot of companies in the Silicon Valley and a lot of companies elsewhere involved in innovation often bring imperfect products to market and then hope their research catches up before anybody notices.
That's absolutely true. That's part of the, you know, the glorious legend of Silicon Valley, started by none other than Steve Jobs, who operated this reality distortion field. And to convince people that he was capable of doing something he wasn't, but then lo and behold, later on he was, and it was wonderful, and everyone was delighted, and he made lots of money. But this is a medical products company. They were testing people's blood. They were giving patients results based on those tests that had bearing on whether or not they had diseases or other medical conditions. So this isn't a widget or an app or a game that you could play on your iPhone, but something that has to do with life or death. And so the prosecution certainly will argue that this is nothing like the Silicon Valley companies that we read about and gloried in. It's completely different.
All right. So back to the trial. You going back in today, Adam?
I'll be there.
All right. Adam Leshinsky, who's covering the trial for Business Insider. He's also author of Inside Apple, How America's Most Admired and Secretive Company Really Works. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Garretson, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.